Second Chronicles and chapter 26. Talk tonight about not leaving a safe place, and don't leave your safe place is the actual title. Second Chronicles 26. I could talk tonight about the good kings. They did well. David and Hezekiah and Josiah and others in the Bible that did great and did great things for God. I could talk about the bad kings, Ahab and others that are just all bad and did terrible things and that were disasters. But tonight I want to talk about kings who started off good and had a bad ending. I don't like books, movies, anything that has bad endings. But I'll take all those things compared to lives that have bad endings. Most lives, not all, most lives start off with a decent start. Even kids in bad homes, they go out and play and have fun and run around or do something. But bad starts can have great lives. Great starts can have bad lives. And every combination has been done. There's nothing new under the sun. And I want to talk about the don't leave your safe place. And so we're going to talk about some people in chapter 26, these three kings. I'm going to talk about, first of all, is Uzziah, or Uzziah, people say different ways. We'll call him Uzziah. This Uzziah was king, he started off by doing well and pleasing God and having victories. In chapter 26, verse 5 and 6, it says, And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought to the Lord, God made him to prosper. Then he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built the cities of Ashdod among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gurbaal and the Mahunims. Let's pray. We'll start from there. And Lord, I pray we'd get some wisdom tonight, Lord, and that the devil would be upset tonight because one of his tricks is now known to these people, Father, and we could be wise in this, Father, and I pray you'd help me to present it clearly and powerfully, and your spirit would speak to us, Lord. We need your thoughts, we need your wisdom, and I pray tonight, Lord, as this can be a lifesaver message, Lord, I pray you'd please fill me with your spirit and flow through me and use your word in a mighty way tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Started off good there. God was with him, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made it to prosper. Verse 7, God helped him. Then people started bringing gifts to him, all of his enemies and everything. They started, after he defeated them, they started bringing them and gifts to him. And it said, and God helped him against the Philistines. But then in verse 8, it says, the Ammonites gave gifts unto Uzziah, and his name was spread abroad even unto the entering of Egypt. And he strengthened himself exceedingly. Now he's had military victories, and he becomes very known and admired. So he's doing good as a king. He's prospering, he's being blessed, and things are going well, and all's good, and that's great. He's very organized, he's very prepared, he's very dynamic, and he ends up being very powerful. He builds things, very clever things, very wise things, to make his kingdom very strong, and he's been blessed and prospering and has great ideas. Verse 10, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, and husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men. They went to war by bands, according to the number of their amount. And so he had all those people, and many, many people. And under verse 13, their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, which made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast irons. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be stood on towers and upon bulwarks to shoot arrows with great stones withal. And his name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. If only we could stop there. But the verse doesn't end so good. He was marvelously helped. His fame was spread abroad till he was strong. Well, the next verse tells us what happened to him. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. That's not good. and he's going to be destroyed. He gets out of line, he gets out of God's order, and he thinks, I've succeeded, I've done this well, I've done this well, I've done this well, I have done all these things, and I can do anything well, and I'm great, and I should be admired, and everybody loves me and likes me. And his heart was lifted up, and he forgot it was God that was helping him. And so he goes into God's temple and decides that, you know what, I'm going to do the offerings, and I'm going to run this thing. That is completely off limits, okay? He was not allowed in there, though he was king. It was for the priest to be in there. And for he transgressed against the Lord God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they went after him and said, what are you doing? You can't come in here and you can't offer these offerings. This is for the priests, God's anointed priests. And they got to wear these outfits and they got to do these things and be sanctified in this way. You can't do this. And he says, don't tell me what to do. I'm king. I look around you. I've succeeded at everything. I have done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I'm king, and I have the authority, and you're underneath me, and I will do what I want to do. And he was completely out of his thing. And they withstood Uzziah, the king. Remember I said, there are times when a leader has to be withstood. Okay, it's not because you're rebellion or rebellious and nitpicking, but this wasn't nitpicking. And they withstood him and said, don't do that. And they said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests and the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up from his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from behind the incense altar. What happened? God smote him with leprosy, his whole body. And they said, get out of here, we're going to take you. They step back and they say, get out of here. You're in the temple and you're a leper and you're not allowed in here and you shouldn't be in here in the first place. God dealt with him. Okay? God dealt with him. And the priest looked on him, and verse 20, and behold, he's leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. And yet he himself hasted out to go out because the Lord has smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Now he couldn't even go into God's house. Now he couldn't be with the people. He was a leper. He was isolated. He was still king, but his sons had to reign. Bad ending, good start. Okay? Not good. Go back. He had that good start, and he was destroyed because of his foolishness. Then before this, just the king before him, Amaziah, another king just before him in time-wise, Amaziah in chapter 25 and verse 1. It says, Amaziah was 25 years old and he began to reign, and he reigned in 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now, he starts off doing well and doing good things and serving the Lord, but not 100% for the Lord, not with a perfect heart. And I hope that when I die, God said he served the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Because the devil got him somehow when they didn't have the perfect heart. And he went and he was going to war and he didn't trust in the Lord and he was very insecure and worried about it and he had a great host against him. So he went and hired some people that he should have been associated with to help him. And God sent a prophet and said, hey, don't do that. God can take you care of this. Get rid of all those people. And he said, but I paid him this much. And he said, God is able to give thee much more than this. Okay? God is able to give you much more than this. Just go ahead and take the loss. God can provide your needs. And in verse 9, at the end of the verse, he says that. And so Amaziah separated himself to wit from the army that's coming to him from Ephraim to go home again. And so he went down and he strengthened himself and he went forth and he fought this battle. He lived by faith. He separated himself and he went down and won this big battle. Great. Praise the Lord. But then he went and he took the gods from the people he defeated and began to worship those gods. And verse 14, now it came to pass when Amaziah had come from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? What happens to Amaziah? Well, unfortunately, he gets messed up in the end and eventually he is destroyed. And verse 27, it says, now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, and they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with the fathers in the city of Judah. And he was killed. He was overthrown in the conspiracy, and he lost his kingdom. Started off good, went bad, and then had a bad ending. One more that just right before this, Joash, and to chapter 24 and verse 2. It says, Joash did that which is right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So he's doing good all the days, and this priest is there. And he's doing well. and so he's doing fine. Verse 17. Let's see. Let me go back a little bit. He's doing good. He builds a temple of God. He repairs God's house. Look at verse 4. It came to pass that this Jehoiada minded to repair the house of the Lord, and he gathered together the priests and Levites, said to them, go out to the cities of Judah. He goes out, and they had destroyed God's house and made it a disaster and filled it with idols, and it was a mess and a disaster and ill taken care of. And he said, no, let's fix God's house. And he decided to fix God's house, and God blessed him, and all the money and more was given to fix God's house. He had the Levites and the priests ready to do it. Everything was set up. Everything fell into place. The people who could make the things, to repair the things, were there. And everything he did prospered, and God's house was built, and it was blessed, and his work was wonderful. Verse 13, so the work and wrought in the work that was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof they were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and all these things to offer the Lord. So, good start. He's doing great. But remember, it said, it put a caveat on how he's doing good as long as Jehoiada the priest was there. But then Jehoiada dies in verse 16. Verse 15, he acts old, he died, and now he's without Jehoiada. Now, he begins to change. And if you go to verse 18, it says, they left the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespasses. And he sent prophets unto them to bring them unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Remember this Jehoiada who's helping him, who raised him up. He was a very young king and helped him out. Well, he starts doing wrong and worshiping idols, and Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, comes and says, hey, you can't do this, Joash. It's not right. And why transgress ye against the commandment of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord that hath and he hath forsaken you. Remember, he's saying, you are blessed because God is with you. Now you have forsaken God. Now he's forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stone at the commandment of the king. Wow. Now watch how bad he is. Then Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done unto him, but slew his son. And when he did it, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. And of course, God did. And down to verse 25, and when they were departed from him, they left him in great diseases. His own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David. He's sick and got murdered by people around him. Good start, bad ending. Okay, we see this. Now, just a few things I want to say about this and just teach you something that I think is very important. These three stories, among many others, will teach you this. Always remember, God's will is also a safe place for you. I mean, the will of God is pleasing God. And that's the most important thing. The Lord is pleased. The Lord who deserves us to give him our lives, who gave all for us, who created us, who he's worthy because he's created all things and because he's our Savior and because he died for us. He is worthy of us serving him. And just if he's happy, no matter what happens to us, it's worth serving the Lord. However, in that will of God, when you decide to do the will of God for your life, and you should do it because you love the Lord. Now, Joash, if he was right, he would have grown. Jehoiada the priest kind of raised him up, but he eventually, somebody takes you by the hand and kind of takes your hand and gives you to God, and eventually you have to stand on your own. Somebody cannot lead you and hold your hand always to serve the Lord. You have to do it because you want to eventually. At some point, you have to do it because you want to, because you love the Lord. Otherwise, you're not going to do it when your parents or whoever is trying to get you to do it. It's okay to start off with other people pushing you along and pulling you along and inspiring you. But sometime, they're not going to be there. And you got to just love Jesus enough. All the excuses melt away. If you want to make excuses to not serve God, you can do that and you'll find them. And it won't work in God's sight, but you can do that. But all these people, when they left the will of God, they got in great danger. They messed everything up. They were in trouble. Okay? Because the will of God not only is wonderful because you're pleasing God, and it's not just wonderful because you're productive and do great things that matter, and because you have the peace and the joy of God and all the things that come with the blessing of the Christian life, that if you grow up in it, you don't really know how good it is until you lose it. Then you say, oh, my soul, what did I lose? But the will of God in the sermon tonight is a safe place where you keep from being destroyed. When I was a kid, I got to say when I was in my early teens is when all the weirdos started coming out, and all the kids weren't quite as safe as much as they were before and such. And so they started having around the neighborhoods what they'd have on a window. It'd say safe house. And if you were getting bullied or if you had some weirdo following you or whatever, you could run in the safe house. And these people were all checked out by the police and you can go into those things. Right now, all over the world, whenever the CIA or whatever, the Mossad or whoever, when they're in a foreign country, they have safe houses. If things go wrong, you don't know what to do, that house you can go to, and it's one of your group's places, and you can go there, and they have communication, and it's a hidden house, and nobody knows that it's one of your houses, but it's your safe house that you go to, either between missions or in a mission it has fallen apart, and that's a safe house because you are now safe in that spot. Okay, you have gotten out of all the danger and surveillance and everything else, and whatever the thing is, you've got a safe house. The will of God is safe for us. Now, let me illustrate this. Let's say this platform here is the will of God. Okay, and as long as I'm on this platform, there's a lot you can do in the will of God, but I'm up here, I'm safe. I'm good up here. Let's say down here, outside the will of God, is the devil. Okay? He can just tempt me here, but he can't destroy me here. Okay? He's going to try to get me to come off this, and he's going to try to get someone to come off that and come down. So let's illustrate this. Let's say Daniel. Daniel, come on up here. Daniel, you'll be the Christian today. Just come on up here and come on the platform and stay on the platform. So, here's a safe place in the will of God. The Lord has a plan up here of safety, okay? He has a plan for keeping him safe. He has all kinds of things to protect him up here. He's got God's plan for him. Okay, Robbie, come on up here. You're going to be the devil. So his horns, he's hiding them, you know. So just stay down there. You're the devil, okay? Your job is just at some point to get him down with you, because when he gets down with you, you can beat him up. You can start beating him up and pounding on him and strangling him. Go ahead and do it. It's be fun. So you start doing that. Okay, come on back up here. So that's your job. Okay? In the will of God, the Lord has a bunch of wonderful things to protect him. Okay? I'm going to just give you a couple of those things. For example, he gives parents. Okay? Come on up here, Charlie. I won't embarrass your wife. She doesn't like being in front of crowds, does she? No. Okay. I won't embarrass her. But mom and dad are there. Come on up here, Charlie, you're up here, there you go, let me read you some verses on this, let's see, I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21, Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Verse 21, it says, my son, let them not depart from thine ears, keep sound wisdom and instruction. And Proverbs chapter 7, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my laws, the apple of thine eye, bind them upon thine fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. They may keep thee from the strange woman, and the strange with flattereth with her words. So he's got mom and dad. And I want to say this, the first line of defense for children, both spiritually and physically, is parents. Okay? It's very important parents understand their responsibility. He also has, and I'm not going to give you all the things that God has for you, but on this platform, but to say things, there's a pastor. Okay, I'll show you in Hebrews 13, God gives you a pastor or a spiritual leader to look out for you. And he's going to say that real clearly here. Hebrews 13 and verse 7, it says this, "Remember them which had the rule over you, who spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls." So I'm up here, and I'm the pastor, I'm saying, and so the devil starts wooing him and trying to get him to come, and holds out something to him, and he holds out some money to him, and so hold that out, and you hold out that money to him, and you try to tempt him, and either dad or myself, but we're up here, and we're protecting him, and we say, no, you don't want to go live for that. Don't do that. He's got safety up here. If the devil comes up here, we beat up the devil. Let's do it. And we do that. See, he's got all these protections. He's got a church. He's going to hear preaching. He's going to have other believers who are his friends who are going to be there for him and pray for him. The will of God has all these protections. And there's many of them. There's the plan of God. See, these kings had this open door to build a temple. They had this job to do. So in the will of God, Daniel is our song leader. Coming up here. And so Daniel is he's got a job in the will of God, and that job's going to keep him busy. And to sing for us. And so he's got this job of singing the wonderful hymn, And so he's got this job to do, and that job is going to keep him doing right, and it's going to be good for him. And God's going to help him to do this job, and he's going to get strengthened and be safe here in the will of God. See, in the will of God is safety. In the will of God, you're fine. God helps those in the will of God. He helped all three of these kings to do amazing things in the will of God. And so God gives these things. God gives different things. He gives the Lord's protection. He protects them. No evil thing comes upon me. I'm not afraid. 10,000 can fall by my right side. It's not going to come nigh unto me. I am fine. Let me show you this in Psalm 73. And then we'll illustrate a little more. Psalm 73. You guys are doing great. Here's a guy in the will of God doing the right thing, and he's in great danger, okay? Psalm 73, verse 1. "Truly God is good to Israel, even in such as have a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped. For I was envy at the foolish." He was in big trouble. He's in great danger. But guess what? He was on the platform still. And watch what happens. Verse 17 and verse 16. "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." Guess what? He kept going to God's house. And before he fell, he was protected. Why? Because he was still on the platform. Remember he said, "When I went into God's house, I understood the whole thing." And I said, "Boy, I was dumb. I didn't see clearly." But because he went to church. And so because he stayed in God's will, he kept going to God's house. He got to see the truth and he didn't get destroyed. If he wouldn't have went to God's house, he wouldn't have seen that. And his feet would have slipped and he would have been destroyed. You see, there's a safety in the will of God. Even when you don't understand, even when you're confused, you keep doing the will of God. Because as soon as you get off of the platform, you have no protection. And now the devil, whatever he does, he does. Okay? Come on back up here. So the will of God has this safety built into it. These kings were doing great. They're doing fine. All of a sudden they said, "You know what? I'm doing so amazing." Boom. Why? They stepped out of the will of God. Sometimes somebody steps out and God says, "I'm going to give you grace for a minute. Come back, come back, come back." And then sometimes they just ruin everything. Okay, you guys can be seated. So in the will of God is a lot of safety. Oh, you remembered that. Good night. If it would have been bacon, you'd have gotten them. But when you're in the will of God, the will of God, God's plan for your life, when you don't understand, when you're struggling, when you just keep on staying in the will of God, the devil always, when he thinks he's got you weak, he tries to say you're confused, you know what to do, you're having a hard time, get out of the will of God. And what you think is you'll go, "Okay, I'm just going to go at the will of God for a little while, and I'm just going to take it easy." No, you're in trouble now. and you get devoured very quickly. You mess things up so quickly, and you get destroyed. And these kings, I'll just go in the temple. I'll go in there and offer sacrifice. I'm king. It's not a big deal. It's just a little rule. Okay, now you have leprosy the rest of your life. Okay. Now you're going to be, in this one, now you're going to be sick in your bed, and they're going to come kill you on your bed. They're just tired of you being king. See that? That's authority right there. And so you can see, these things are dangerous. It's safe. The Lord's protection, all fear be destroyed. I want to say a couple things about this. First of all, do not be drawn away. James chapter 1 and verse 14. Do not be drawn away. Let's start at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So you get drawn away. Oh, I'm just going to have fun for a while. I'm going to go do this thing here. I'm just going to go do this. You're drawn away and you're enticed. And what's the end? Death. Sin brings death, spiritually, physically, every other. It's just, it rots us. Do not be drawn away. Second thing I really like to focus on is don't be haughty and overconfident. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, you can turn there if you like. It's a good verse for you to have memorized. Wherefore, let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let's go back to one of our texts here, chapter 1 Chronicles, chapter 25. Watch how common it is, and watch just how they fall. Watch how they, 1 Chronicles, chapter 25, watch how they fall. Remember they said, why are you trusting these gods? Verse 15, they didn't deliver their own people. Verse 16, it came to pass, he talked to him. The king said unto him, the prophet. Prophet comes and says, hey, you just, God gave you the victory. He was able to give you much more than this. And you're taking these gods and worshiping them and putting them in God's temple and worshiping idols. They couldn't deliver them. Why are you worshiping them? Worship God who just delivered these people. Verse 16, it came to pass, he talked with him. The king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? He says, who made you a counsel? You're not in the king's counsel. He's a prophet of God. Then the prophet forbear, and he said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Haughtiness. Haughtiness. Chapter 26. Verse 15, it says in the verse, and his name was spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Okay, listen. The strong people I know, the people of victory, the people who conquer, the people who stay on the right track, people who do the right thing, no, they can fall at any minute and don't have a bunch of confidence in the flesh. The Apostle Paul said, we're not of those who have any confidence in the flesh. One of the greatest, if it weren't tragic, it'd be humorous, things of life, is the people who should have the least confidence will tell you they can handle everything and are overconfident. Okay? They have all this confidence in themselves. They have all this confidence in their ability. They're not going to fall. They know what they're doing. Everybody says, don't do that. That's foolish. Oh, come on. I know what I'm doing. I'm not a kid anymore. Well, your life has not been real successful. You messed up a lot of things. You do not know everything. Oh, all right, whatever. Don't be confident in the flesh. Realize you get off this platform and you're fodder for the devil. You can be destroyed. These kings were great men who did amazing things, and then they got overconfident. Then they just decided that they don't need to be in the will of God, and they can do it. They can handle. They can do what they want. They can offer the sacrifices. They can handle these things. They don't need advice from a prophet. I know what I'm doing. Don't. Boy, don't be careful about haughtiness. Let him that thinketh that he stand take heed lest he fall. Realize that you can fall. Realize that the devil will devour you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's devoured better people than you and I and destroyed their lives. You've got to be saying, you know what? I've got to stay in the will of God because it's safe. I wasn't a Christian 1 year before I watched several people backslide and watch them come back from backsliding. And watch some people who had been away for years that I never knew. They were backslidden before I ever came to the Lord. Watch them come back. And I said, man, I don't want to do that. Boy, what a rough go that is. You got people who say, I don't need to go to church. Oh, boy, you arrogant and wrong. I do. I need church a lot. Bible Christians only needed it every day. Oh, no, I can just worship God at home. Except for God doesn't say you can. That's just your humanistic philosophy. God says you assemble yourselves more and more as you see the world getting worse and Jesus coming back. The arrogance of somebody saying they can handle filling their life with bad things and bad people and be just fine. Not read their Bibles, not pray. I can go off and do this thing for a while. I can marry outside the will of God. I can go take this chance over here. You do not know. It's not just you're not smart or anything else. It's just you just stepped out of the will of God, and now all your protections and all the plan of God and the angels standing around you and protecting you, you've stepped out of God's protection. It's like the president going out and running away from all of his security team and all of his all the people there, and then being surprised when something happens to him. Listen, if I right now said, you know what, I'm going, just so you guys know, I'm going to mission trip next week, and I'm going to go to Mecca and preach the gospel. I'm going to stand in that big black rock. You'd say, you're foolish. They're going to kill you before you get there. You're going to die. That's less dangerous than messing with the devil without God's protection. We are so arrogant. Humans are so prone to overconfidence. All it takes is you to succeed at one thing, and all of a sudden you're Mr. Know-it-all again. And then all of a sudden you fail again, and you say, oh, brother, I'm such a loser. Listen, we are so prone to overconfidence. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yes, he gives his angels charge concerning thee. Yes, the word of God is powerful, and the spirit of God, and the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. And he gives you people that'll help you, and he has wonderful victory for you until you step out of his protection. The will of God is a safe place. I want to say, lastly, don't forget, the blessing and victory is because of God's blessing. Chapter 26, verse 5. It says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod and built the cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines. Why was he such a great military leader? Because God was helping him. It was a blessing of God that delivers us. It's a blessing of God that protects us. Don't get haughty and think that now you're so strong. If you don't realize you're weak, you don't pay much attention. You blinded yourself. Verse 15. He had all these blessings till he was strong at the end of the verse. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And he became a leper. Overconfidence. Peter says, I'll die. I'll never deny you. Three times before the morning. Remember that? Three times before morning. He got overconfident, didn't he? Got overconfident. And he was somebody who lived with Jesus for 3.5 years, cast out demons, did miracles. And he couldn't make it one night. You know what God probably did? He probably just said, you know what? Let me just not help you for a minute, and you'll see how bad you do. You won't make it through the night without denying me with curses three times by morning. The grace of God gives us strength. We're nothing without him. But abiding in him, we bring forth much fruit. Do not get overconfident that you don't need to do the right things, and stay careful and stay in the will of God and do God's plan and stay in church and stay in the Bible and stay in prayer and not do foolish when you're struggling, and just keep in God's plan and God's protection. He's got angels all around. He's got the power to protect you from anything. He can protect you spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever, in the will of God. But if my kids run away, I can protect my kids at home. I can protect my kids, and I have a plan. I don't send them anywhere without some kind of plan of protection, without some idea that it's safe or anything. But if they run away from home and they end up, I can't protect them. And that's what God does. God says, I got a plan, a protection, victory, blessing. And he showed it to these men, but then they got haughty. Then they got out of the will of God, and three of them, boom, boom, boom. Bad ends. Don't be drawn away. Even for a moment, don't leave the will of God. Don't become haughty and overconfident. And don't forget the blessing of victory is because of God's blessing on you. Stay in the will of God. Stay in his safety. Stay in his plan. It's a wonderful victory place. And outside the will of God's danger. And you're in trouble. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we are grateful that you showed us people who did have victory and people you did bless and people who are having wonderful blessings. Lord, we see those people of protection like Jehoiada, Lord, who were there and kept him right. But Lord, we see the same people who had great victory and blessing not stay in the will of God and watch him destroyed. Lord, may there not be anybody here tonight. May we not be haughty. May we be dependent upon you. May we trust in you and know anything good that happens comes from you. And I pray tonight that each one of us would decide to stay in the protections that you give us and not leave that will and that plan of safety. Lord, thank you for your word that teaches us these things. Thank you for your word that showed us these three men in a row. And thank you, Lord, for doing all that you can do for us and giving us warning. May we just heed it very carefully. And we thank you for the word that shows us this in Jesus' name. You might think that if you had a certain amount of money, you'd be safe. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you had this relationship, your life would be secure. If you had this job or career or education, you'd be all safe. No, the will of God. The will of God is what you need to keep you safe. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who'd say tonight, you know what? I am not careful enough. I long to have the blessing of God. I long to be in that safe place, in that place of blessing. But I've been drawn away. I've been overconfident. I've trusted in the wrong things. And God spoke to me tonight. You know what? Heads about, our eyes are closed. I tonight need to rely and trust and be safe in the will of God. I need to not be overconfident. I need to be careful not to be drawn away. I have a tendency to think I'll be fine if I just jump out there for a while and come back. Who'd say tonight, you know what? I want to start good and end good. I might have started bad, but I want to end good. You can do that. Who'd say tonight, God spoke to me. I need to stay in the will of God more carefully. God spoke to me tonight. Would you raise your hand? Would you say, Lord, bless and help me? Would you be honest about it? I need to stay in the will of God and be careful not to leave it. A couple Sundays might destroy you if you miss them. It might. You can put your hands down. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you tonight. We're going to have the pianist come. After the prayer, we're going to stand, heads bowed, eyes closed, and we're going to have an invitation. Good old-fashioned chance to come down and say, God, I've wandered far away from home. Now I'm coming home. Lord, I've not been careful enough. Lord, thank you. Give me grace. I didn't get destroyed. Lord, help me to stay in your will. Maybe tonight you'd say, Lord, I've been a little overconfident. Maybe tonight you'd say, you know what? I've kind of been haughty and thinking that my successes were because I was so great. But I need to trust in God. I know without him, I'm nothing. Come down. Spend some time being honest with the Lord. Father, thank you for the hands that are raised. Thank you for speaking to us. Now, Lord, it's sad to read about these three kings, but it's good for us to learn from them. And I pray we'd learn that good men who were blessed and did great things fell foolishly. And may we get an admonition and some wisdom from this. From your word, I pray tonight that we'd realize that any one of us could fall. Any one of us could be devoured and destroyed. That we'd stay around those that are there to help us. And we would stay in your plan and in your will. And I pray tonight that we would do that wisely. And we thank you for the word of God and for what it teaches us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.